Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Uprising Radio and Poetry in the Raw welcome you to let's just call it what it is. This was scheduled to be a cipher in which we would have the kings on and speak to current issues and have some poetry. I have given this a lot of thought. Queendom Network, really doesn't want to participate in separating, but bringing together. So the cipher that was scheduled for today will be next Monday. Next Monday. It will be for both kings and queens. If you have been tapped to be on the panel, we need to meet for a call this week. to lay out what we're doing Monday. I know that that is extra for some people, and I understand. If it's not something you can participate in, I also understand. We will understand if you can't do it. I will be hitting you up in your inbox. If you have not already been hit up by me, take that how you will, in your inbox, hit me up so that we can discuss this. Now, we are going to get to the business of speaking to the kings. I am going to share something with you, and I'm going to continue sharing them. I'm excited for where this takes me, but we're going to start with a poem. Young man, do not fear the evil one, for he is toothless and the bark has no bite. Only if you let his fear get to you, he will win. Take heed, I will protect you. I will cover you in my grace, and the enemy has no chance. Rely and believe in my words, for I am the powerful one, the all-knowing, the truth you seek. To soothe for your heart the lilies in the fields and the sun to nourish them are all from me. Do not fear what can't harm me, for nothing can. Realize tribulations will occur, but I am the conqueror, the sweet music for your soul, the divine power who loves you and who will never forsake you. Don't fear, young man. Don't fear. That is from the book, The Trilogy, written by Clarence Chavis. Clarence Chavis is a writer of fiction and poetry. He is a graduate of Morgan State University and Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in the field of planning. To further discuss Clarence Chavis, he writes, I love to write works of fiction and poetry and travel the world. My story is not complete. There is more to come. Keep pushing towards your dreams, and above all else, keep God first. I am posting the link to both purchase his book, The Trilogy, and to learn more about him in the event page. I will also add that Clarence Chavis is my first cousin, and I'm very proud of him. Very proud. I believe that my cousin has both led the way for me, because he published his books before I did, but speaks as a man of God to family matters, to political matters, and does so while keeping us laughing at how hysterical he is. Again, his name is Clarence Chavis. The title of this book is The Trilogy, and I'm going to read one more poem from his book. Hear ye, I proclaim. Your knowledge is about to expand. You are becoming a man. The mental dilemma ensues. Will you endure or fall to the blues? Will you excel or will you rebel? You must be prepared to handle it well. For the time has come when it will expand and move from your mind throughout the land and manifest the battle to take place, good versus evil within this wicked place. You are the catalyst of it all. You control the rise and the fall. A soldier amongst the ranks, you have been chosen as the fighter of faith and goodwill. Your whole life prepared you for this time. So don't run and hide. Decide how to handle the situation, how to shape the nation, how to conquer evil as a fighter. Knowing all well, you have the advantage. The enemy knows, accepting the disadvantage, but the toothless one will continue to gnaw into the bag of old tricks that many before have accepted and perished into their foregone pleasure of wrongness and accepted their lower position. But evil's Achilles' heel is the Creator. The righteous one is behind you and chosen you for this journey. You were chosen to slay evil and progress through with outrageous valor, courageous valor. Grab your stone, young man. Slay the giant with the power possessed, with no fear should you possess. The power within you will manifest, which is all you need to flourish, sprouting up fresh in a world unnourished. Young one, I don't know what will come, but I know it will be as I said, as it was told to me. I accept of the honor of being blessed to deliver, for you were chosen to do wonders which I didn't do. Clarence Chavis, and I'm going to say salute to my amazing cousin for that great piece. So, as you can see, that is where we're going this day. We are going to celebrate the authors that I know. Some I don't. Speaking of authors that I know, here is a poem from the next one.
I am the fruit. I am the fruit of the spirit of my ancestors. From the seed they planted in the gardens of their dreams, their hopes as they suffered and toiled, sweated and bled and cried to nourish their prayers for the day, their tomorrows, and our here and now. My soul has yearned to taste this fruit, this offering, for which so many sacrificed and died in the hot, balmy days of the fields, in the cold, dark nights of someone else's wilderness. We still need it through. With the hungry babies crying and no time for sighing, and our unwilling complying. For the Lord, He was trying, testing our mettle, testing our character, of our visions and of our pains. And I am the spirit of my ancestors. And that spirit is sweet. For I was planted and nurtured in the spirit of forgiveness. May I honor this spirit with my character, my works, and my dreams, for my children's tomorrows, with love. For in the fruit resides the seed.
Bill Peters hails from an obscure little town in southern New Jersey, USA. Chislehurst. He is a transplant from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Savannah, Georgia. Bill is the proud father of 11 children, 8 grandchildren as of the writing of this book, and a myriad of nieces, nephews, along with 5 siblings. Bill committed to this form of expression writing back in 1966, the year I was born, at the early age of 15. Though he was wandered off the path of pursuing such a career many times over his life, he remains true to the primal need he acknowledges to convey his thoughts and feelings via this particular medium. His primary focus is on humanity, love, and other spiritual matters that perhaps affect us all. He has also went on to assist many others in getting their words out, for Bill is also a publisher. Bill is the founder, CEO, of Inner Child Press International, and was a featured guest on our network. You will see more books that are anthologies spearheaded by William Peters Sr. than you will books that he wrote. But Bill is more than just someone who wrote a few books. He's even just someone who helped some people write a few books. Bill is quietly the mentor of countless poets and writers, countless people who are truly making their way in this medium. In mid-August 2015, William Peters Sr., aka Bill, was invited to participate in the International Poetry Festival to share his poetry and to showcase his book, The Vine Keeper, Messages in Poetry and Prose. Mr. Faridin Shehu, our beloved brother and friend, was the artistic director of the festival and honored Bill with the invitation. The festival was held in Reykjavik, Kosovo. His excitement soared, and he relentlessly was encouraged to attend. All would be paid with the exception of the airfare. This next entry is from the book, O Sweet Kosovo, Dreams of Reykjavik and Poetry by William Peters. I was kissed. Okay, it's September 19, 2015. I was kissed this fine morning by Reykjavik's sun, and the heat of its lips whispered enchantments. I realized that the humanity, the love of our brotherhood spoke the same language. And this, September 15, 2015. The sun is rising, and I turn my face to the east. I am kissed by the solitude just before the full splendor. When the world awakens, the dogs begin to bark, and I listen as the clouds of my night makes way for the sky's blueness. I hear the wheels of men approaching the busyness of this new day, making their way to the toils that await them. No sense in counting, for the tasks of life will appear to be endless. Yet there is but one. Live. And that is just a taste of some of the amazing work directly from Just Bill, and also the work that he facilitated in getting to us. We appreciate and love you, Bill. And thank you so much for all that you've done for poetry communities around the world. This is Bill Peters in Love, Devotion, and Surrender.
She looked at him through her pained eyes. She listened to his long, slow cry, became one with his suffering. She had no other notion. She embraced him within her deepest part. She gave him her life. His anguish, no buffering. That was her devotion. She knew that night yielded to sunrise. She now has tears of joy in her cries. For through love, she has found life. For her, love was his ocean. And she surrendered. Love, devotion, and surrender. Love, devotion, and surrender.
That was, of course, Bill Peters in Love, Devotion, and Surrender. And again, this is Sylvia Blalock. We are Uprising Radio, and Poetry in the Raw is Celebrating the Kings. I'm loving being able to share some of my favorite books and tracks. And in honor of that, I am going to a poem by someone who recently passed. I did not know him personally. It truly feels as though you lose a member of your family when someone famous, someone you don't know, going through troubles of their own, does not win the battle for themselves on this side, though in passing he has moved where these things can no longer hurt him. I'm, of course, speaking of Earl Simmons, also known as DMX. And for those of you that don't know what DMX stood for, it was Darkman X. This is an excerpt from his appearance on Deaf Poetry Slam.
I'm bringing to the stage my man from Yonkers, New York, DMX.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's up. I appreciate it. What I'm going to speak on is the thing that's on my mind the most. You know what I'm saying? The thing that we all got to deal with every day but don't really know. The industry. The industry, man, it's not the same. Doesn't have to do with talent. It's about playing the game. The industry. Real niggas is dying to get in. The industry, just to find they don't fit in. The industry ain't what it used to be. The industry's trying to control the way you MC. They want you to dress like this and talk like that. But I'm going dress like this and talk with the bat. The industry. Got your word meaning nothing. The industry, fuck what you heard because he's bluffing. The industry, money, bitches, hate, but I dare you to try to take a fucking thing off my plate. The industry like, wait, but in the streets we like, get him. 17 up in that thing. Catch him sleeping and hit him. The industry, if you ain't got a strong mind, the industry will break you down. It's a matter of time. The industry, vultures with nothing to feast on. See me? I'm getting my beast on. The industry, stay in the dirt, play in the dirt. Test the wrong one in the industry and you will get hurt. I'm not an industry artist. I'm an artist in the industry. So I do what the fuck I want because nobody can finish me. The industry. Wanted, dead or alive, new artists to sell their souls in the way they survive. The industry don't give a fuck about you, but the industry couldn't make a dime without you. The industry, I'm sick of this industry shit. The industry playing them like an industry bitch. They tried to finish me quick, but I am long, so I stand strong. Fuck a beat. Listen to the words in the damn song. I only know how to speak the truth, you know what I'm saying? So I got a little short joint I'm going to hit you with, you know what I'm saying? And it basically reflects on my relationship with the industry. This is what it is. Often, my words fall on deaf ears. Motherfuckers be listening, but don't hear. Talking to a nigga, he be sitting right here. I be like, where you going? Nigga be like, yeah. Thank you.
Give it up for DMX. Yeah, yeah. The other night, you know, I went to the Deja Vu to listen to the sounds, you know, have a drink or two. Who knows, maybe even spit a few. And you know that's what us poets do. She served me this drink. The drink looked kind of blue. Greenish blue. But y'all know how I do. So I had a drink or two. Man, I fell asleep. I fell asleep at the Deja Vu. Through sleepy eyes, I saw Ella Fitzgerald. And man, can she scat. I saw Louis Armstrong. How about that? Then she announced, coming to the mic, the bird. Mr. Charlie Parker. You heard? Then he blew this magical tune. And I got high as a motherfucker in June. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Finger snaps, finger snaps, finger snaps. Then to the mic came this cat standing around 5'8", but sounding like Marvin Gaye. When he said, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? I said, what's going on? Something like that. But yeah, that day, he sure sounded like Marvin Gaye. No freaking way. And all we could say was, wow. The hostess laughed. Then swore the featured artist would top all that. And the audience, once again, we shouted, no way, no how. Yeah. Then she melodically announced, coming to the mic is Miles. He wore dark shades, sitting atop a pointed nose, right next to high cheekbones. As he filled the room with soulful monotone, oh, I shouted, Lord, I'm ready to go, take me home, take me home. I felt a hand on my shoulder, I thought it was Jesus, but it was just some dude shouting, hey, words, wake up, you're up next. Now I realized it wasn't Ella, Louis, Charlie, Marvin, or Miles did I see. It was just a room full of poets reciting poetry. Just a room full of poets at the Deja Vu. Just a room full of poets reciting poetry. Just a room full of poets reciting poetry.
That was Spanish Harlem's own William Washington, a.k.a. Words of William. He is a New York City street preacher, counselor, poet, spoken word artist, motivational speaker. He is the dedicated father of three. I interviewed Wawa Washington on my show, and the conversation mostly around his career as a poet also zeroed in on his book, which I have a copy of in my hands, The Nigger Chronicles. The, should I say the N-word? Should we exit out? The title that is available on Amazon, I will drop that link for you. And my determination at that time and now is no. We will say this as written, and we will honor the work of an amazing poet. This poem is from the book, The Nigger Chronicles, by William Washington, titled, Of Thee I Sing. Our country tears of thee, our country tears of thee, sweet land of liberty, took us from our own land and enslaved us, tortured, raped, castrated, forced labor, hung us from trees for all to see. Of thee I sing. A civil war, we is free. From north to south, freedom is mostly word of mouth, for they still hung us and raped us, et cetera, us in the south. Of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land cultivated from the blood, the slaves cried. From slave to free man, we died. Our cries so enriched with pain and despair and hope for a freer tomorrow. It sounded like a song, the gospel, the blues, the jazz. Yes, a bunch of promises, no 40 acres and no mule, just a bunch of razzmatazz. Of thee I sing. When the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was leading a peaceful march for equality, the question wasn't if he should be killed. The only question was, when would he be killed? Malcolm X, John F. Kennedy, same thing. But in this free land, great strides were taken. Women no longer slaving in the kitchen frying bacon. Louis Armstrong's horn roared. Michael Jordan soared. We excelled in the legal system, medical field, education, and more. Barack Obama knocked down that unopened door. Of thee I sing, yet. In this day and time, a black president is still a novelty. We're still mired in poverty, still burdened by bigotry. Of thee I sing. It's beginning to look like it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. We must pray for Obama. Of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And on a side note, may our rappers stop wearing bling bling. May our men protect, respect, and love our women. Place on their fingers a wedding ring. Young black men stand tall as Yao Ming. Of thee I sing. Young woman, honor that wedding ring. Hold your head high, for you are a queen. Know that you are not a sexual thing, no, but you are a sexual being. Never exchange your sexual being for being some man's sexual healing. Honor thy queenness. Of thee I sing. And that is that piece. I could tell you 1,000 wonderful things about William Washington because there are so many to choose from. We're going to go with 2 minutes more, a piece from William Washington.
2 minutes more. In 2 minutes, I can stop a nosebleed. In 2 minutes, I can tell you of my life's history.
In the first 2 minutes of conversation, I can make a woman fall in love with me. And because of premature ejaculation, you see. In 2 minutes, I came and she's in the kitchen making me a ham sandwich with American cheese. In 2 minutes, I can recite the alphabet frontwards and backwards, starting at G. H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-I-C-U-V-W-X-Y-Z-Z-Y-X-W-V-U-T-F-R-Q-P-O-N-M-L-K-J-I-H-N-G, you see. Give a dying man 2 minutes to tell his family, don't cry for me. Give a dying man 2 minutes to relive his life's history. Give a gambler 2 minutes to change his luck. To change his bet from 7 black to let it ride on 11 red. Give a murderer 2 minutes and someone may be alive and not dead. If Trayvon Martin had 2 minutes more, he'd be alive today eating Skittles and enjoying another day to run and to play. Trayvon didn't get 2 minutes more, and now, rest in peace, he's dead. Give Mike Tyson 2 minutes and he wouldn't have that big-ass tattoo on the side of his head. Give me 2 minutes to say I'm sorry. Give me 2 minutes to say I miss you. Give me 2 minutes to say I love you. Give me 2 minutes to believe. Give me 2 minutes to achieve. Give me 2 minutes to perform the NFL's football 2 minute drill. Give me 2 minutes to swallow this suicide pill. My time is up. So whatever I didn't get to say or do, I will say or do nevermore. Unless my God gives me 2 minutes, 2 minutes more. But not even 2 minutes are guaranteed. It's all God's call. 2 minutes. Please, Lord, give me 2 minutes more. Now, because my God gave me 2 minutes more to think my life over, to laugh, to cry, because of those 2 minutes more, I'm alive.
That was, of course, William Washington. For this next poet, I'm going to start with his bio, because I would like to make sure all credit is given.
Anthony Arnold, born in Tampa, Florida, and raised by his grandmother in a little town called Quincy in the Florida Panhandle, wrote his first piece in the third grade. He fell in love with writing ever since that moment. Writing has become a comfort and a mainstay to keep him focused. As an avid reader of all genres of literature, Anthony has found a particular passion for Black history. He believes that his ancestry and the ones that have come before him have given their blood, sweat, and tears to make it possible for him to live a life of freedom and liberation. Anthony Arnold served and was awarded numerous medals, including the Air Force Achievement Medal 1986, 1993, and 2001, and many more. His desire is to show the younger generation where they come from and to let them know we are much more than what society has labeled us. Winner of the 2015 National Poetry Awards Freedom Poet of the Year and the 2018 BHM Poet.
Uprising Radio and Poetry in the Raw, welcome poet Anthony Arnold. I have been violated, whipped, beaten, taken, manhood removed, no longer considered human, shackled, lynched. I feel violated, segregated. You can't sit here, not allowed there. Sit-ins a must. Jim Crow, not the norm. We are violated. I have a dream by any means necessary. March for our rights. Fight if we must. Die if need be. Flaming buses attacked by dogs, water hoses, jail cells, shallow graves, bodies never found. Our children are violated, the bullseyes on their backs, slaughtered before our eyes. Emmett Till, 4 young ladies, Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis. My rights are violated, profiled, driving while Black. Wearing a hoodie, can't own that car, you can't live in this neighborhood. Where do we go? What do we do? When will we be able to not feel violated? That is from the book, Random Thoughts, Reflections from the Mind of a Poet, and that is just one of 3 books that I have written by Anthony Arnold. I am not his number one fan, and I'm not going to be the stalker person that says that. I'm going to say that I'm a huge fan of the truth that he brings, the without question, the hard to hear realities that he almost forces your eyes to. They are not Disney. I've heard it said on this show. It's kind of hard to hear what he has to say. I'm going to bring him on shortly because he's actually called in. So thank you, Anthony. But before that, I'm going to share just a sampling of what we have from him. This is Anthony Arnold. This is actually an Anthony Arnold medley.
Injustice anywhere. Dr. King stated many words of wisdom, some that are more relevant today. But this particular one has stuck with me more than any other jewels of knowledge he shared. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. How can one even expect to have justice when the scales are tipped away from us, when the lives of people of color mean nothing to those tasked to protect, those meant to uphold the law? 3/5 of a man, but we are all supposed to be created equal. Yet, according to the Supreme Court, persons of African descent could not claim citizenship. Then who do we belong to? Gunned down in the streets, in our cars, in our homes, by our own. Walking while black, driving while black, napping while black, shopping while black. Ask Oprah about that one. Money doesn't matter. Status doesn't matter. Ask James Blake. Ask Tyler Perry. Ask Eric Garner, Botham Jean, Sandra Bland. There can be no justice wherever injustice rears its ugly head. Whenever racism is the word of the day, whenever hearts are hardened to the plight of others. This is the history of our holiday. In 1966, a professor wanted to bring us back together. The year before, in good old Watts, we had been torn apart. The riots were our Waterloo. He created a holiday for African Americans to bring us back together, to solidify us as a race, as a people. He named it Kwanzaa. Created from the African celebrations, mostly from the Zulu and the Ashanti. It comes from Matunda ya Kwanzaa, Swahili for first harvest, celebrations of the first order. 7 days, 7 principles. Each day representing a different value, a different meaning for our culture, to bring us together, to show love for ourselves, for our people. 7 principles, 7 symbols, a time to celebrate ourselves, our people, our culture.
From the beginning of time, the black male has been a king, a slave, a revolutionary, and in current times, a target. Not only have we had to fight against racism, we have had to fight against our own kind. Dr. King said, "The time is always right to do what is right." That is why it is now time to awaken our voices once again, to bring forth the truth as only the voices of the voiceless clan. We have been persecuted, prosecuted, electrocuted, washed with fire hoses, bitten by dogs, shot down and choked out. Why? Because of the color of our skin. Because we fit the description. Yet look around you, we have invented most of everything you see. Our sisters helped send men to the moon. Yet we were only considered to be 3/5 of a man. The Supreme Court said a man of African descent couldn't claim citizenship.
Blackmail.
Not the people that the Constitution were talking about. We have been told that we weren't smart, that we couldn't do things that others could do. Yet the Tuskegee Airmen never lost a bomber. The 761st Black Panthers were the ground version of the Airmen, handpicked by General Patton himself, bloodied but unbowed. The revolution was not televised. Congressman John Lewis, a freedom rider and a martyr on Selma, beaten to within an inch of his life, twice, a black male. Dr. Martin Luther King, a stalwart of the civil rights movement, taken by an assassin's bullet, a black male. Emmett Till, George Stinney Jr., two children taken by the racist elements of their time, black males. Malcolm X, the yin to Dr. King's gang, by any means necessary, taken out by his own, a black male. Medgar Evers, a voice for those in the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, shot down in the driveway of his home, a black male.
How should we interpret?
Fred Hampton, shot, no, murdered in his prime, because he dared speak out against those who would hold us back as a community, as a race. He was only 23. A black male. We speak to inform the masses, not just hear ourselves talk, not just to be there for no reason. Malcolm X said, "A man who stands for nothing will fall for anything." We won't fall. I hope that each and every one of you takes something away from the fruits of a poet's labor, that you truly hear the voices of our ancestors, that you understand what it means to be black male.
How should we interpret that?
We tend to categorize black boys based off of their appearance, their socioeconomic status, and their academic achievements. And it's very easy to do so when you find out that 54% of black boys will never graduate from high school, or only 54% of African Americans graduate from high school. That 2.5 times of black boys will be suspended more than their white peers, and One in three black males born today, yes, I said one in three black males born today, will see the inside of a prison cell. How does this make you feel? Now, buckle up. This is all a part of the Obama effect. With the election of President Obama, we, for even a brief moment, believed Dr. Martin Luther King's dream that little black boys and little black girls could be whatever they put their mind to. Doctors, lawyers, mayors, presidents, heck, even I wanted to run. But I also realized that it negatively reinforced something. It negatively reinforced that black kids can no longer make excuses because President Obama is in the White House. And because they can no longer make excuses, it's because they live in what we like to kindly call a post-racial society. A post-racial society is a society that we all live in today, of course, where it's completely void of, you know, racial injustice, systemic bias. Nobody goes to jail at disproportionate rates. But do they? With the election of President Obama, the only way that black boys can ever succeed is if they choose to take the high road. This high road, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, to the White House is a very slippery slope, and it has no staircase. And so what we do to tell black boys that they can be a success is if they follow three exceptionalism, assimilation, and respectability policy. Exceptionalism says that, by all means, please distance yourself from anyone that you think is less than. And assimilation says, well, when you get in the room, make sure you take off as much blackness as you can so that when you walk into that space, white people feel comfortable. And respectability politics says that when you are in that room, make sure that your conduct in the room is appropriate and that everyone looks at you as you ought to. But that's a problem, ladies and gentlemen, because if we're telling little black boys that they have to be exceptions to the rule, assimilate, and be respectable, how can we ignore these things? The pyramid of respectability. This pyramid of respectability, whether we're conscious of it or not, we judge black men based off this. We say that black men can either be prisoners, working class, high school grads, college grads, or the elite. And whether how high or low they go, as long as you occupy the black body, you will still be susceptible to racism.
I would like to welcome to Uprising Radio my friend Anthony Arnold.
Hola.
Hola. I love that I am holding your books in my hands right now. I think I have one more. I'm not sure if I'm just not finding it or I only have three.
I was going to say you're missing one.
I know. I know. Okay, I'm seeing random dots. Oh, it looks just like the second one. Okay, so I do have it, and it's in my bookshelf, but I couldn't recognize it because of the spine. Boo. But I do have it. So, and I am putting the links to you in Amazon so that people can get all the books, including the one that I missed. In this time where I am celebrating the kings, I can't even imagine not taking a moment to celebrate you because you have been such a support to the show, such a kind person as I found my way through this journey. And, I mean, the best hype person ever for people that are trying to, you know, do this poetry life. It's not for everyone, and you've certainly made me feel so welcome and been so helpful. So thank you for that.
You're quite welcome.
And
you've done the same for me. You've done the same for me because you put out the platform that let my voice be heard. So, as it turns around, thank you as well.
Thank you. So I have
questions. I think some folks would, I may
go
have
first.
Answers.
That's okay. No, continue your thought.
No, I was going to say, some folks may say they hear too much of me on your show, but that's up to you. But
you know, I've heard rumors of that. What I will say to that is, how interesting. You'd think they'd be saying they hear too much of me on my show. But, okay, have thoughts about what I'm playing on my show. I love it. I think that it's not that this is the Anthony Arnold show. It is that someone is supporting me while I do this thing, and that happens to be you. So like it, don't like it, aw, sad, not really. Sad, but not really. I think that we all do these little dances with what people think of us to just distance ourselves from what people think of us. That is where I find myself. And do you find that things like, oh, maybe we hear too much of you on Sylvia's show, Urban Musings? Ah! And I do have that book. Okay, sorry. That's the other book that I forgot, y'all, Urban Musings. And I have that book, and I'll post the link to him. So how do you address, especially when you are someone that is as renowned for what you do and as good at what you do as you are, how do you navigate around what people have to say about you, things?
Nobody says anything to me up front. You kind of hear stuff in the wind. And at my advanced age, I don't worry about it. If I worried about what people said about me, I'd be half dead by now. I do what I do. And there, in case people didn't know, there is a way to get me to shut up. Call in and do your own stuff. If you're reciting your stuff, that means she doesn't have to play mine.
Oh, my.
Simple.
Also true. But
relatively simple.
See how you just do that? did you see what just happened, y'all? Look here. I'm not about to tell that man. Look, you heard him. I am grateful for the people who let me do this with their work, but I laugh at the idea that, oh, you're playing too much of this poet or that poet, and these are the people who support me, who come through, who send tracks when I ask for tracks, and who are not trying to be paid some kind of finder's fee for appearing on my show. The one person that said, you know, how much do you pay for that, I never got a call back. An interesting
proposition.
I don't worry about that
just for the simple reason being you and a few other shows that are no longer in existence were instrumental in me getting my work out, especially when I first got started. And if you're going to support me by getting my stuff out, of course I'm gonna come back around and support you. I mean, that's just common sense.
Why would I not
support somebody who's putting my stuff out there for the masses? I mean, it's common sense. It's common courtesy. I try to support everybody that supports me. And that's just the way I am. That's the way I've been since I was a little kid. Like they say, never burn your bridges because you never know who you'll need. Or you'll never know where you may have to go back to and you can't. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't worry about it. I do what I do, and I do it the best that I can. And either you like it or you don't. I mean, I can't worry about it because if I do, I'll never get anything done.
Wise words. Wise words. You are referred to as Kingpin, a name that you were given by another poet on their show. Do you consider yourself a king?
I don't know. I am. I won't say Renaissance man because that's somebody else we both know.
Shout out to Derek. His book's coming later in the show. If you said it was like, what's that book? We may get it. Well, you know.
I am a quiet soul, I guess.
Okay.
I've been molded, I guess you could say. I call them my OGs, my grandmother and my great grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that they went through, I got to see firsthand. You hear about people who say, well, their parents or grandparents or whoever and whatnot worked in the tobacco fields. I actually watched my grandmother and great-grandmother get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, get me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, take me to the babysitters at 4:30, and they get on the bus at 5. Watch them come home at 5 o'clock in the evening, get me fed, get me washed up, and put me to bed, and they're up for another 2 hours getting themselves ready to do it all over again. And then watch them on the weekends do laundry for people. That is what gave me my determination. And they told me flat out, you will never work in a tobacco field if we can do anything about it.
That's love.
So that's where I got my sense of history. Plus, growing up in the South, you had our little white-sheeted heathens running around.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn to duck and dodge and all of that nice stuff. I've had my run-ins with them. Five guys wanted to put me and a very good friend of mine 6 feet under. But that's when I learned I could run.
Okay.
That's when I learned I could run and I could jump fences. So
you have a poem that shows me such a depth of your heart. I mean, when we're surrounded with the historical references and the way in which you demand that we not avert our eyes, demand it. You leave nowhere for our eyes to rest but truth. There is a poem that speaks so deeply from the heart. I'm hoping that you'll let me share it before you share a piece with us.
Go for it.
She said that her heart was a rose in barbed wire. Closed off from the world, she couldn't take the pain and the sorrow. Love for her was no longer a reality. She said she gave her all to her man, would do anything, would go anywhere, ride or die. This was who she was. He threw it all back in her face. So she raised the wall around herself, placed the barbed wire around her rose. Never again will I love, never again. Don't close yourself off, I said. Love will come when you least expect it. There is someone for you. There is someone for everyone. How can you be sure? How do you know? Because I, too, was once like you, closed off and withdrawn from the world, thinking I would never love again. She found me and showed me that love was possible. That's how I know that will happen for you. Give it a chance, and you, too, will find the love you seek, the love that you desire, the love that you cherish. She said that her heart was a rose in barbed wire, closed off from the world. She said she would give it another try to find love once again. That is from the book Random Thoughts, Reflections from the Mind of a Poet, written by Anthony Arnold. The link to his Amazon profile is available in our event page. And now, are you ready?
Yeah.
Kingpin, the mic is yours.
This is a piece I wrote actually about a year or so ago. It's my alter ego. Stuff I don't usually do very often, but I'm going to pull this one out of the old rabbit's hat. It's a piece called Her Soul. She found it hard to catch her breath. He took her breath away as he tasted every part of her. Her heart beat as if it was a drum. He spoke to her in a voice that rumbled like thunder. The best is yet to come. She found it hard to catch her breath. She felt her juices flow between her legs. He drank like a man dying of thirst. Her toes curled. Her legs shook. He slowly slid into her. Her eyes rolled back into her head. A deep moan escaped from her lips. She said, I need more. He didn't disappoint. He stroked her harder and faster. She felt her sheets let go. She didn't care. Don't stop. Don't stop. You better not stop. He didn't stop. He went just that much harder. The feeling came from deep down. She couldn't stop if she wanted to. A scream erupted from inside her consciousness, and her soul floated away from her. She awoke to a kiss from a rose. He lay next to her, his breath rumbling like a lion. She couldn't believe what had just happened. she began to smile. Her revenge. That's that piece.
Okay, where is my hand fan? Because I'm just really having hot flashes out of nowhere. How does this happen? I don't have pearls to clutch at the moment, sir. But, you know, you make for, you know, you are a man. And, there, you know, we can think that you're going to write the very essence of human suffering in easier to understand words, but when you go down this road, so descriptive, I would like to thank you for consistently supporting and backing me. And don't worry, the people who have something to say about the frequency you do or do not hit my show can suck it.
All righty then.
Yeah, I think I pretty much leave it at that. They can suck it. Suck it. Don't care. And I will just continue to say that we are building things here, and I appreciate that I can support and continue to promote and support, and that you support me in doing that. I so appreciate you. I really mean it. You're a great friend.
It has been and will be a pleasure to do so.
Thank you. I'm returning you to the couch with a kiss on your forehead. Please enjoy the rest of the show.
Yes, ma'am.
Everyone, everybody's favorite poet, King Ben, Anthony Arnold. So gives me an opportunity for a quickie break. We're coming up with some more of the kings of poetry as I read from their books, play their tracks, and just am grateful for having met some of them in person. Some I've never met, and some, of course, have passed on. Just so much wonderful poetry came my way that in my stint in the poetry community, I feel grateful to have been exposed to so much amazing artwork. I am going to go to the poem of someone that I actually have not had the pleasure of meeting, except online. That meeting was when he was interviewed on my show by Complicated Passions when he was hosting here. Proud to have met this guy online. How can I put it? He really hit that mic and taught me a little something about how we do our craft. Roberto De Niro Styles, 40 Acres for 40 Favors.
Here you claim this land. Planting this flag, you made discovery. It's time we speak in truth. It's time we start uncovering. Everything taught to us in those dusty old school books holds no meaning to me. Just the ugly facts of liars and crooks proclaiming a study from the good book. You robbed my ancestors. You robbed. You stole. You beat. You murdered. Greed is your gander. Greed in its most malicious of ways. You tried denying us education. You tried denying us a rightful situation. The master doesn't want us to read. Master doesn't want us to vote. Time after time, crime after crime. You will never own up to the fact. The origins of this here land was of native heritage. A known truth you keep locked in your vaults. You will never admit the many faults. Politicians all talk a good talk, yet you set out to sodomize my people with all sorts of evil. It's as if it was our fault, yet you demonize us. Slurs, then an apology, then more slurs, to demonize my culture with brute, illicit fashions. Equality, please. Nothing more than a catchy phrase. I'm not fazed by hazed influx. Suppose every time you address me as a nigger, Mr. Sam, suppose you were to be dealt with the same wrath that you orchestrated dating back when you landed this side of the map. Suppose for every slur, every lynching, every sister you brutalized by rape, it could easily be you, Mr. Man, mask and duct tape, accompanied with two slugs in the back. That's right, Mr. Sam. That's the same brutality that you dispel. For all the falsehoods you use to frame me, for all the factitious lore you score, this is to all who are linked to my rich lineage. African, Cherokee, Blackfoot. To all the innocent lives lost. To all who suffered this systemic incest. To my ancestors who took welts to the back. And to those who speak to us in vain, who discredits the bloodshed and the pain. Take these welts to the back. Take that, Mr. Sam. I am not a prophet nor a preacher. I am not an educator nor a teacher. Now tell me, how can you reach someone while you sit upon your glass chandeliers? I was not made perfect. I have made mistakes. But one thing I won't portray is to be all knee-deep and fake. But let you tell it? I should be cast into the lake of fire. You don't know my heart, though, nor do you know my truest desires. And what gives you the right? You act as divine light, accusing voices roam the masses. You spaz out the minute the multitude revokes your passes. We have so many that are poor, so many starving that need to be fed, so many pimps behind the pulpit that have many misled. But that's that man's plight. That's that man's fight. And he has to atone for his. Not none of my business, though. But one thing I won't tolerate is a bougie and fake, nose up in the air, living like you don't have a care. So criticize me, take your shots, call me out by my name. But know this much, my life is not in vain. Now tell me something, mister. When was the last time you offered your help? When was the last time you thought of someone other than yourself? When was the last time you donated your time? When was the last time you even spared as much as a dime? Literally speaking, sounds self-seeking. Be careful who you stone, or the same stone you cast will be your very own. And I'm not defined by your religion, opinion, judgment, pretense. It's senseless to even bother. After all, you didn't create me. You may debate me. You may slander my name. But don't mistake me, my brother. I do my part. The difference between me and you, you judge on the surface. I look deep into a man's heart. So don't be mistaken before you call out names. Don't get burnt by your own flames. All the gossip and scandal, all the sexual immorality, what is one to think when they seek only to find more of the same? Just as bad as the sights I see in the streets, at least I can see my enemy face to face. Anything is better than a deceitful, gossiping, nose up in the air, conniving beast. You exalt yourself the most as you boast. Meantime, as I go, I move along in my pursuits of my own healing, seeking the whereabouts of my perfect peace. Just don't know. You just don't know.
disorderly disturbance, bastardized frequencies, real mass pretender, masquerade display. And we have come to a time when false mistaken true, cowardice runs anew, ignorance looms like the viral flu. Many are overexposed without even paying any dues. A mockery that screams such great tragedy, imagining a time but long before where men were men. And any signs of weakness, any signs of femininity got shunned upon. Real men were protectors, providers, survivors since the native score. Nowadays, bossom narratives of ignorance scorn, lenses with distorted views. Nowadays, a contest of bad bitch parody, a side chick monopoly, a side dish of sloppy seconds. Monkey see, monkey do, see spot run, see spot jump, see spot pop off. A coma-induced coalition, it's all about the mollies and the perks, not who puts in the most work. Millionaires with the cadence of jerks, rather it's elected officials, geeks brandishing pistols, racist mere demagogues. A new plantation has now emerged. What's deemed reality, casualty to such simplicity, captivity has now taken center stage. An awakening, a call to arms is needed. Bear witness this viral sickness like secondhand inhalants, void of remedy. Just read the lettering, this demonic creed of useless deed. Monkey do what monkey see. Morality becomes minority to this widespread wicked dilemma, imprisoned to ignorance decree. What is it to have sight and not see? What is it to be void of light, void of accountability, void remedy, half full, half freaking empty? Temptation, scandalous feed, news feeds, cluttered, narcissistic pleas. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Stagnated, overpopulated, over-freaking-rated. That's nowadays for your ass. And on that note, I think this black man here will pass. All perish. Out of here.
And as we let the fade come in, Roberto De Niro style, we started with 40 acres for 40 favors. We went on to Glass Chandelier's Pretense, and what you're hearing now is the close of You Lost Me, Soul of a Relic. And we all know that hook. Well, the next king, I don't have any tracks for. I have many appearances of on my show since I started hosting. He has been it's been a mutual admiration with this artist and myself, because he has, his style stuns me. His freestyle stuns me. He, everyone, the king in question is Joseph Nathaniel King. Everybody knows him as J-N-K, and he ain't no junk. Hey, how you doing?
Well, good evening.
Yes?
I thought I was just going to do the intro.
You first. I find that when I talk to you, we have some of the most deep conversations. If I tried to do your bio, it gets, I start, and then it's, and then. So what we're going to do is start with, hello and welcome, King. I salute you.
And my reply is, I salute you, Queen. Thank you for having me on your show.
You know, it's a celebration of the kings. It wouldn't be a celebration if I didn't take a minute to pull in the people that are calling in to make sure I've got callers. Y'all are funny, and I love it. So thank you for the support always. We are closing out on National Poetry Month, so I'm going to ask you, did you write any poems for National Poetry Month?
I honestly didn't.
Hmm. I love your honesty, you know, and let's just say you're not a writer in that way. You are starting to write more, but you are not someone that normally writes what you spit. And it's truly profound that you are so good at what you do and that it just comes off the dome.
That's when I come in and say, to God be the glory. Yes. But what would you can give me well, what would you like me to do so I can kind of write it as it goes along? Because, like you said, I'm just learning how to get back into writing.
Well, I know the piece that I would like to hear from you, I'm going to preface by saying, this is the only, first and only piece that I have heard where one person does a cipher with themselves. I speak to it. I don't want you or anyone else to tire of it. I, for one, am not tired of it. And I'd like to hear that piece.
And before I do that, I wanted to say that I've learned over time, because it's your favorite piece, that as I grow, mm-hmm. I try to do different variations with the same lyrics but different deliveries. It's always going to be new to me because it's updated.
Well, the mic is yours.
Appreciate it. This right here, what I'm about to perform, is called The Last MC. Enjoy. Me, Grimlock, will never be Prime, because Optimus Prime might not be stronger, but Optimus, wise leader. So if you ever proceed to provoke or approach this, I will with no hesitation make you my destiny. Then I'll leave you dehydrated, breathless. You're mentally unconscious because you're lyrically defenseless. Why can't you understand that you need more than this confidence against this? Because I'm ridiculous when I release my ballistic characteristics, which remain infested with many unknown lethal injections. Like nitroglycerin, I explode with some of the illest flows. That's why I'm so certified, because I'm skilled at will. Yes, I'm still constantly ill whenever these chemicals spill over the fattest tracks. So to try to counter my attackers, but to get slapped back 360 degrees with the other 2,000 MCs and praying to be organized by confusion. But when the smoke cleared, that's when I appeared in the scenery. Then I instantly changed. Then I rearranged my frequencies frequently as I begin to laugh with some of the illest MCs who are also known as the lyrical lyricists. But you must agree that it's slightly different than me. But that's only because they don't possess the ability to follow my magnificence. That's why sometimes I swim 2,000 leagues deep in this reality. Like the eclipse is dark and ugly and I can't see or breathe. That's when I begin to transmute like G-Force into Aquaman. Now I can explore my ill gills into the legendary voice of sequence. Yo, King, you must never set up for less. You must always correct. And that's what I must do. But now you must realize, realize that your state of mind is too deep for you to comprehend. That's why I'm submerging back into the Atlantic like the Titanic before I leap back in the sea.
Rest in peace, MC. Transmute like G-Force into Aquaman. Now I can explore my ill guilds with the legendary voyage of T-Quest. Joking, man. You must never settle for less, man. You must always catch wreck, man. Yes, I agree. And that's what I must do, but you must still recognize that I'm still paralyzed or state of mind, because I'm still too deep for them to comprehend, my friend. That's why it's now my destiny to use my telepathy so I can instantly get inside their mental facility for infinity. Alert, alert. To my physical enemies. I am now rapidly emerging from the fourth element so I can represent this physical image. As many nations of generations stop to bear witness, but then they immediately evacuate their premises. But it's only because they refuse to have a confrontation with this incredible physical, independent, demented, lyrical individual who split clips of magazines that were split and shattered and scattered your dough piece. Now you tell me how many MCs recognize that I'm unchangeable with up and flows, because that's what I present when I represent. But I'm lyrically splitted with hardcore metaphors. Yes, I'm fantastic like four when I want to explore you. Yes, I'm deep with dull rims, but you still must comprehend. That's why I'm submerging back into the Atlantic like the Titanic. But before I leap back into the sea, you rest in peace, MCs, as I release deadly chemical gases from my rearview cheeks. Poetry in the Raw with Sylvia Blaylock. My name is J&K. Peace.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, I'm already a hot mess, and you do it different every time, and I love it. But you already know. I would like to continue to celebrate you picking up a pen for being so good at doing the freestyle. You also wanted to stretch your craft and started writing, and to change it up the way you did, I can only continue to respect the way you do what you do, the way that you do what you do. And I am just honored that you continue to support, and I'm looking forward to so much more from you.
And thank you for pushing me and giving me the desire to do it, as always.
You are so welcome. Please enjoy the rest of the show. Everyone, J&K is the business. Y'all know. So I'm going to read, before I read the next piece, I'm going to read something from the book. To Sylvia, continue being the source of all things inspirational. And it is signed by Andrew Boyd. Those of African descent have a beauty that is unparalleled, hair that defies gravity, skin that can metabolize sunlight unlike any other, the ability to couple drive and determination, just to name a few. Most of all, lips that can speak and shape love. Think about it. A full set of chocolate lips seen at a certain angle creates a heart shape that is dazzling to the eyes. What other nationalities have that feature? Our lips can speak inspiration and give love. For me, a full set of soft lips on a lady drives me wild. Just a touch of gloss or cocoa-shaded lipstick covering her lips as they press mine causes me to feel the sensation of nibbling her plumpness gently as we are engaged in a fiery and passionate exchange of physical oral communication. The sweetness of her lips makes me sweet on her. Holding her closer as our temperatures rise, I love this type of chocolate for a simple reason. Our kisses make us melt into each other, resulting in melanated deities expressing what it means to be one. Candy-coated oscillations of great sentiment is the reason why I seek chocolate. Seeing and feeling the love on our puckered kissers grant us safety, serenity, and peace in a world that needs those key items. Facing the full and parted curvy delicacies of her chocolate lips as they hover near mine makes me feel more special as her lips are special to me. Andrew is a 2-time kidney transplant, I believe 3 now, a transplant recipient who looks at the world in a way that gave him perspective as to how his life would be shaped due to his medical experiences, as well as helping others by exuding inspiration and compassion to those around him. A graduate of the class of 1996 from Germantown Lankenau Motivational Program Annex, Andrew's writing prowess was born in the 10th grade and continued on while he attended Arcadia University in 1996. After a writing hiatus in 1997, a trip to New York City in March 2010 reignited his passion for writing. I will also add that he was recently married to the love of his life. What I can say about Andrew Boyd is that when he signed my book, June 2018, and handed it to me, the book Wordplay, BPC Poetry Fest 2018, was a custom-made book for attendees of Poetry Fest. If you were not at Poetry Fest, you didn't get one of these. And it was a souvenir that I cherish of all of the things that I took home from Poetry Fest. This autographed book from Andrew actually does not rest in my bookshelf. It rests in the desk that I write on right next to me and is one of my cherished possessions from that time. So I'm so grateful for that. I also have the rest of his books. I am going to read one more of his, because I love his style of writing. And honestly, if it's not the ways in which he truly expresses his love for his people, for women, and for what is right, it is also that he truly expresses his disdain for the orange person who shall not be named, and for the ways in which we as a people are undermined and truly not honored. And so the piece that I want to read in that spirit is The United Corporations of America. At the end of the day, it is a matter of American greed. Corporations playing and preying on the insecurities of their employees who give their all in a fictitious land of grabbing brass rings and pulling themselves up by the bootstraps, fat cats in cheap suits dining on fine wine and lobster Newburgh. Quite tasty, right? You know, eating good with the taxpayers' dimes as you wipe your messy mouths with the sweat from their brows. Must be nice to be the puppet masters who are pulling the strings of those who are holding you up as they are hoping for a crumb to snatch. The day will come where they learn it is their teat onto which you all latch. Let's talk about your loss prevention department. Flashlight cops performing unwarranted stops of hard-working drivers, determined, great salt of the earth people who are making ends meet as they are looking for their house keys so that they may rest their weary feet. Instead, they are harassed, hassled, punched, kicked, abused, being rode by corruption as if they had saddles on their broken and weakened backs from their long days of performing arduous tasks while they were racing the rats. These flashlight cops now have shinier badges, acting as if they have hard dicks, yet they possess Oedipal badges. Because their actions are pussy in nature, those who pay big money are to whom they cater, while swinging their blackjacks, pointing their guns, picking people off one by one by damn one. Then they get the slap on their wrists. Do you know what that is called, everyone? That is called blue privilege. Let's turn a few pages, examine these meager wages. Yes. It is true. You can earn a living, yet it is barely compared to those who are getting corporate bonuses daily. Pats on the back can afford us grits and fatback. Job well done can allow us pieces of prime cut beef to be cooked well done. We are fortunate enough to put a few dollars on the light bill, a few dollars on the water bill, and a few dollars on the gas bill in hopes that'll keep our heads above water as we are scratching and surviving good times. And we lucky we got them. To quote the great, late, great Dusty Rhodes, I have wined and dined with kings and queens. I've slept in alleys and dined on pork and beans, the American dream, for this is all too common story. If things continue to progress in this manner, that story will be the legacy of the United Corporations of America. And that is that piece. Much love, Andrew Boyd. So, to that spirit, I would like to touch my fingers to my heart, to a spirit too soon. This is Sideshow and King Cypher.
King from where I'm from, not so rare. My only problem is balancing the crown on this wild hair. Street smart, so the shine of my crown has a different glare. Even when they call me hood, because of my dialect, you still see respect in their stares. Now the hustler on the corner say I walk through like I own it. Now with a stride with pride, I guess the description fit. With the stomping ground citywide, I don't need a throne to sit. Steps create reps, but on me, they slept through the city that with limits I crept. Even when I wrote to young queen, she looked at me funny until my language switched to sound something like 1913, aroused by the side that I showed, changing her expression and their stance when I flow. Kings never refer to kings. Please understand, standing on my own moral compass and honor, sending me on the right direction, or I would have been a goner. My environment made me king. Poverty didn't bother me, but it kept me adapting, survival of the fittest, while I do my thing without even letting my sword sling, making alliances with other warriors, a flag that I'm earning, that waves in the air while glory is always burning, with my crest on it proving that I'm prepared for anything. My kingdom, you will not be conquering. I was groomed by a king, queen to rule any realm of that. I was always been aware, even the drunken king that trained me to never be scared. I became protector with intensity, and provider that always figured out a remedy. So being a king, my foundation covered from where the sun rise to where it set. At times, I'm just a knight, and shining armor is all I reflect, because without a queen, I'm not truly a king yet. Sideshow.
I don't mean to be rude. Wait a minute. Yes, it is. Why can I not be accepted or even respected around my own folks or own nation? But when I say I want to switch genders or change my occupation of social denomination, then they want to say they cool with me. Not saying I ever would do that, but I'm like, man, why do you really want to fool with thee? Why don't people even like each other anymore? Why can, when I say it outside, why when I put my hand, pump it in the hair and yell out black pride, why do people get upset when I speak? But when I see something that's mamby-pamby and candy-crushy, then that's the eardrum they want me to peek, but I'm getting tired. I'm getting tired of all of these years and all of these tears that I have shed. So many different problems and situations that were going in my head. People trying to shut me up and cut me up like banana nut bread. And now I'm like, man, should I be one of those another statistics that's laying flat on the concrete, victim of massive amounts of bloodshed? But I say, why get mad with my black pride? I ain't got to be a Black Panther to be full of black pride. I understand my ancestors, that's why I'm full of black pride. And you talk about all of these different things about how can you say that you are God or even a king. I said that God even said it best. He said we were made in his image. So I had to get up on this track and field. I mean, I got ready for this football scrimmage. So when he told me that I was a son of the king, I knew that I'd be in it. So my mind had to reverse all of the psychological damage it had. And it had to freeze spin it. I'm a king. But not because I want to be the king of all crowns or crowns of all kings. It's just that I know he's the master and ruler and controller of all things, but he gave me these abilities. He gave me the way to speak, and the way that I speak at times makes knees type of weak, but he showed me how to be proud of me. He showed me that every time that I look at the mirror again and again, even though my mind and heart sometimes is draped up in sin, he said, look at the sun and get energized by the melanin, and he said, you're still one of mine. You're still one of mine, my kin, so I said, black pride. Black pride, black power, whatever you want to call it, red, black, and green, whatever you want to call it. I would say it when I'm drinking this water until I'm staggering back like an alcoholic, I got black pride. So since I'm pro-black, you call me racist. Well, I guess I could flip the whole stage and start changing faces because when you're racist, you call it justice. I ain't racist against none of y'all. Y'all ain't got nothing to do with me, but since all of us are still same black people, I don't understand why people don't want to fool with me. See, I love when truth starts to envelop somebody's mind and soul, and it changes the direction of how they used to roll. But you looking at me funny because now I spit bold, now that I talk cold, now that I'm like, whoa, now that my beard is ready and salt and pepperish and ready to grow, people look at me funny, but I don't even know. I'm just full of black pride. Why aren't you, my brothers and sisters, in EAT, Matrix Black?
Charles Beast King Wilson and my amazing friend Sideshow really encouraged me to do this my way, both of them in their own way, in those words, do this your way. If you ever had the chance to meet Beast King, King Kaiju, you will know that he might be the biggest poetry hype man that ever lived. Literally body paints and all but cheerleading and talking major smack like he's at a sports thing. And to him, it was his sport. I really wonder what he would think of what we're going through right now, and I'm grateful that he is not here to be considered a walking pre-existing condition. He'd have hated that. I am going to read from the next book what was written in it to me from the author. To my Sylvia, you are a special poet and person. For you to even want my book is more encouragement than you know for me. Thank you again. And that is from hands down favorite erotic poet, Keith Eric. I am reading from his book, Intellectual Eroticism, because, kid you not, if and when an actual cipher is done, better yet, a panel discussion on erotic art, but for sure on the state of our community, I absolutely want Keith Eric on that panel. This is her fantasy. Her inner walls entice me. They excite me, set aflame a piece of me. Deep down in my core, it just so happens that I am a student and I yearn to learn more. I am hands-on, but I like to use it all of my senses. Her breathing has increased. I begin to hear a certain area of her chest create rapid, melodious drum beats. Her smell is sweet, exotic. And although effortless, the smell of her aroused hormones, the smell that is truly her, leaves me breathless. To gather myself takes more than I can explain or substantiate. The river, already flowing from her walls, is making me salivate. Her legs, soft and sleek, I run my hands down to where her ankles meet the feet. The ties are secure. They will not come undone. She trusted no other one with this fantasy, but I knew I was the one. I move in for exploration. I search for treasure with my tongue. The closer I get, I can feel the heat emanating like it's coming from the earth's core. A peak is rising in its center. I let my tongue run a few laps around that small peak before I let it enter. I feel her body shiver. Tongue and finger movements coincide her with her moans. I close my eyes and let them roll back as I take it all in. The taste reminds me of milk and honey mixed with forbidden sin. I pull up a chair as if I'm at dinner, ready to dine. You realize a 7-course meal takes a little time. However, I know how not to be too long, gluttonous, and ruin it. I also know that in order to satisfy, it takes longer than a few minutes. I intend to take my time and properly uncork the spigot. The eruption from her body, her euphoric ecstasy is exquisite. Her satisfaction fuels me to increase her river flow. We are at the height of our intensity, not our limit. Higher, we intend to go. Her body trembles, announcing an explosive eruption is near. So I pointed my finger at her G-spot and told it to come here. She screamed profanities and praise, included a don't stop. I, of course, didn't intend to. I slowly rise to admire the aftershocks, the quakes, and the aftermath. As I look at her with tears in her eyes, she admires me back. Chest heavy, she breathes deep. Her eyes slow blink, almost an angry lust, like I was the prey she now seeks. Eyes cold, she said, bring him here to me. Keep me tied, don't need to be released. Fuck my mouth until you leak. I want to devour every bit of your cream. Even more heavy breathing. Come here and deliver my sweets. I opened my mouth to speak, but her face screamed intensity. So, saying nothing, I brought myself to her mouth so she can end me. And that's that piece. Keith E. Fry, better known as Keith Eric, is a short story writer and novelist that has had a passion for the written word for over 30 years. The love started with writing a book of short stories called Battle Dragons at the age of 8 that was nearly published. From then, it morphed into writing hip-hop rhymes and R&B songs. After a stint with a few local rap and R&B harmony groups, he began to focus more on work and education. After a very long hiatus, through a stroke of luck, he was brought back to writing by author Melanie Miller, who added him to the Black Poetry Cafe on Facebook. It was the group's challenges that ignited his creativity. What began as a simple challenge to see if he could write one poem turned into over 400 plus poems in the following 2 years. Fueled by the life-lasting advice that Melanie gave him, his inner writer was allowed to emerge. The advice was, just write for you, your way, your style. The people who appreciate your style will find you. That advice not only propelled him to his writing style, but also to his stage name. Keith Eric is known to us all as the Renaissance Poet. If you've never experienced him, he's on alternate Fridays on Epiphany Radio. It's almost like a reunion when you go to Keith's show because there are so many people that come from various stages of the poetry community. So do check him out. I will read one more from his book. She said she wanted me, but I was more than she wanted. To be honest, more than she expected. What she conceived would be reality became beyond belief. Made her orgasm come from a place of grief, wailing from a place so deep like her soul had to die just to spend time with me. Made her body memorize me, memorize how her walls collapsed and released, how she wet at the sheets, so lost, she said, fuck what they cost. How quickly her legs locked, how she kept coming because I would not stop. She said she wanted me, so like a jackhammer, I stayed on that spot. You can say I nailed it. Scratch marks on my back. You can say she nailed it. Carved her name in it while I chiseled mine inside her. It never occurred that she would be the one to run. She expected to take me over, make me come undone. But with each stroke, she understood the joke. It was funny, so she laughed as she screamed. Sounds crazy. Almost scary. Didn't even register to me. My concentration was her cream. Hell, I had my own needs to taste it. Complete every move unwasted. Every savory part of her I tasted. Our bodies pasted on a canvas. Please tell me it's your pussy. She asked that a lot. I responded with erratic brushstrokes like my name was Basquiat. Still, I'm an artistic cunnilingus. So I pulled out to remind her of my mouth. Then I took her from behind to remind her what I'm about. I'm in control like her quarterback. She keeps looking back like she is trying to make a catch. No doubt. Her cum was running down her leg like wide receiver routes. I threw it deep until I touched down on her erogenous zone. It seemed she liked that, giving me applause by throwing it back, making that ass clap. I was taken aback because she asserted control. I grabbed her hair, in essence took back the reins, continuing to make her rain, foggy in her mind like a cloudy day, then said, this pussy is mine. Like she had begged me to say, she unleashed her passion like Poseidon released the Kraken, reminiscent of the floods that leave homes abandoned. She said she wanted me. But I had become her man then. Eyes, I could tell she never been so out of control. She needed to ride. The fire in her eyes made me decide. She rolled over before I had a chance to oblige. Like a tigress let out of her cage, she was a heated orange and black blaze, determined to show it was me, she also claimed. She kept repeating my name, stroking my ego with every stroke of my pen. It was murder, she wrote. She was meaning for me to let go, as if I didn't understand. She even said so. She was not taking her time. She sucked my neck, whispered to my ear, your cum is mine. Saying it out loud made her weak. Caused another leak, which made my own foundation weak. That was all she needed to see. She screamed, come with me. There was nothing left but for us to both go hard. I exploded from the inside out like a red star. She jumped on me and sucked up another load. Her mouth was like a black hole. It was against the laws of physics to not be pulled by that gravity. Both of us nowhere near Earth like we had planned to be. She fell back. We closed our eyes. Died and spied heaven's door. See, she said she wanted me, but got a whole universe more than she bargained for. And that delicious piece is that piece. Keith Eric is available on Amazon, and I am going to share his link with you so that you can get your happy self over there and avail yourself of his books, because he's actually quite an amazing writer. And please check out his show. There are so many kings to choose from that I could actually do quite a bit more. So I'm going to hit up The next king that I hit, I can't not speak to because he is in my top five favorite poets of all time. He is a bully by his own definition. I interviewed him on my show once, and truly, he haunts me because of how good he is.
Haunted by her sexy. As I walk in the door, I am greeted by the kiss of her scent. Dreaming I could wrap my arms around it, dragged in by effervescence. I search for her with deliberate diligence. Pineapple body spray, her signature fragrance, parting my lips, hoping to taste her. She was standing right here. She might be here in the kitchen. Ice cubes crackling, floating in a glass of cranberry juice. Half empty, half full. The lip print isn't even dry. Parting my lips for a sip, hoping to taste her. So much sweeter she is than this, for I am craving her. Knees weakening, crawling down the hallway, the radio was playing track number 3. She was just here, still hearing her voice in the walls, racing to the bathroom, still steamy, like our lovemaking, breathing deeply in hopes of capturing her vapors. The soap is still wet, the washcloth is relentlessly dripping, as if pacing her name by syllables. I stick my tongue out to catch one, still missing, like I'm missing her. Her lip gloss lays on the sink, naked. I part my lips, hoping to taste her, kiss her. God, I miss her. Slowly I open the bedroom door, look at her panties on the floor, enthralled in her jeans. I tremor and fiend as the aromatic sensation of the smell of them teleports me to realistic, fantastic fantasies that make me part lips, hoping to taste her. Clutching them still, I race to the mirror, hoping I can catch her reflection. I swear that was her in a glimpse. She was just here. Blessing this mirror with her silhouette, weak now, knees buckled, crawling, dragging to the bed. I can smell her dreams. I lay within her incantation, nestling where she once was, shivering, clutching panties, embracing her pillow, stroking it like strands of hair, becoming aroused, needing her here right now. I am extorting, contorting, twisting, afraid to open my eyes. I am haunted by her sexy. I was written in pain.
This kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
At times you want to quit. I mean literally throw in the towel, your arm's heavy, lungs burning. Truth is, these are the championship rounds. You gotta keep pushing, you gotta keep punching. Remember, all the rounds in the gym, all those laps you had to swim, all those taps to the chin. How many times you almost stopped, got clocked but didn't drop? The hate, they hate you cause you ate that standing eighth grade. The fire, the desire to go the distance, they count you out in an instant. But I knew, I know how it be. Doubt from doubters robbing you of victory. Remain clear, hold dear what it took to get you here. The path laid before you, paved by those who are laid before you. Keep focused, that victory's near, I assure you. They make you to break you, they celebrate you to hate you. Why care how the ungrateful rate you? What do winners have that losers relate to? Trying for those never intending to succeed. We breathe what we believe, conceive what we achieve. We keep swinging till that bell start ringing. It ain't over till that fat chick starts singing. And how leaving that heart exposed makes you susceptible to body blows. How even people in my corner was telling me I was a goner. Laying in that hospital bed, my family thought I was dead. So I fight with my pride, be damned if I let some cousins aside. Every fail, every fall, every setup or setback, I was under visible under God. The main event, no undercard, never done, see? Battle life had never won me, never knocked out, didn't even stun me. No give up, quit or split decision to leave the champ, my only prediction. When we win, we choose to claim fame. When we lose, we choose to find blame. Focus is what I'm about. Doubt'll get you knocked the fuck out. Keep that lack of confidence blacked out. Losers are those never wanting to try. Failures come to those afraid to die. See, and that ring is test you. Life will test you. Shots coming to suppress you, but never let it suppress the best you.
Written in Pain is Carlos Lavazzari. I could make an entire show about that poet. And I will say this. I remain in constant awe of his writing and delivery skills, the information that he brings to his writings, and the blatant arrogance with which he commands his craft. Blatant arrogance in a very good way. He is one of the few poetry crushes that I have. And it's, you know, poetry crushes, they are what they are. Some people, you're thinking about having someone look lovingly into your eyes and quote poetry. Others, you are thinking about cracking their head between your thighs like a walnut. He'd be one of the latter, but he's perfectly safe. I promise to never lay a hand on his head ever, either head, and just hug and appreciate the gift while also knowing that his style and the arrogance. Really, Keith Eric, photos of Anthony Arnold in suits, anything that J&K says, cause stirs where they go. Van Meadows is another one. There are people who do this, and they put a little backspin on it, English, if you will. You see what I did there, English? Anyway, backspin. And the result is something that even they're not aware of. I've seen these kings, and I'll say arrogant, but I'm talking about incredibly humble people. Humble people who, while they are in command of what they do, they are also genuinely kind people. When I met written in pain in Poetry Fest, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I was like a fangirl, totally, oh my God, you're like the best ever. And wanted an autograph, hugs, pictures, and just had a great time. And it you know, we got a fish dinner with Peach Cobbler because they were doing the side hustle of selling plates out of their hotel room. I mean, always on the hustle. So shout out to him. This next artist, I'm going to need to let you hear it before I tell you.
There's a thousand murals where we rest, painted set of flesh, opposite of strangers in traffic, same side as old men with habits, the scene was graphic, but the pieces serene gladdest, getting colder, in 5 years I've seen nobody get older, souls on pause, no progress, like the whole city on the wall, resting process, cowards and false showers, raining spears and sickles, desperation and the hate trickles, trade nickels for your brother, my slave was official, here I flanked up and lost the concept of structure, the people is fractured, the thug is past, the puppets plastered, puppies and actors who take death, suckers take a little slanted, t-shirts and tats, top drawer mask, top floor far from here, we got poor scars from peers, never far from clear, top drawer mask and mattress arms, not too many storms, but always thunder, we struck all the time, what a waste of numbers, when you weigh it out of 10 times, not betrayed, for a piece of business, piece of ego, release back to concentrated streets, we could have been a peep, instead of drying pain or drying strength, system lying in wait, system is illusion, now I'm lying, that's way, the world is selfish, no metaphor required, my right hand went hell. Left went death, wishing hell gets ready for fall. Hoodies and 12 steps, a few faces. New to the wall, saw one, trying not to feel I've seen them all. Coming back to a noose, sometimes it's loose, sometimes it's wide. It's 3 blocks to 10 homicides. Rap like a hangman confides. Politicians made a paper plate. They fear us, it's the fire paper hate. Thought one pace from the south gate. The freight train moves on, mine carries tons. Sons of none, the honey guns are young. Goon in peace, the old say no one's good in the streets. Flashback rapid, flash at the future, leader verse shooter. Just when the noose was getting looser, tears and backdrops for drug abusers. History, background music, bodies found to it. Laugh now, tomorrow sounds useless. Sound useless. Somebody else's eyes, a stranger's intentions. My mind never mentioned the bad moves becoming my state. Vision filled with the mandate, sulfur on my handshake. Like I make acquaintances with demons for the sake of a world in which I have no state. Woke up in the nick of time to kick a time-killing habit. Rub my eyes, they were still rubbing guys out, rubbing lies on reality. Propaganda, well publicized, still I stand a chance to grave. For a power that don't gram up, a crowd on my side with no hands up. But when they pan the camera left and right, it's one manner. Against the masses, or should I say the fascists? They think it's good spit, but really I'm just trying to get it over with. Keep smooth, nothing we can't see through. Gon' kill with the weak too, but let me pick up where the story sits up, where my folks give up. This is the sick of any smoke up, fixated, tamed it with a squid. With me, only a fix will play it fair. My breath said the cake is there, this place is their game. Who dares aim? Let the air change. Food for lungs become fuel for flames. This mode is due a name, but I still can't call it. These thoughts could be your leg, but you'd rather gnaw it. Teeth imitating the beast, it shows in they speech. I speak easy, quiet like a survivor. Get lies lit on fire, or release a war cry inspired by my family. If it wasn't for loyalty, I'd be tired. If it wasn't for these times, I'd be stir crazy. The earth faces me, and my wheels bite the road. If it wasn't for loyalty, I'd be lazy. And it's been all labor lately. Keep smooth. Nothing we can't see through. Gon' kill with the weak too. But let me pick up where the story sits up.
where my foes give up. This is the sick of any. They call them anything. I told life I want a real name. She said maybe when your vision changed. Told her I was framed. She said I saw you gang up, pushing train luck to save your game. The same luck. Replied I came up with sanity is fucked off or tucked off in your grandmother's favorite song. It ain't right but how wrong. She asked what's the difference between a poem and a song. A conversation like this gone on too long. Carried away, she said I dare you to stay with me forever. I said you would marry me this way. Meet the measure of a monster's paradise. Meet the pressure. She said meet the treasure. Couldn't counter appetite to eat the better meat, better than ever. She spoke on the texture of the gang so deep I had to thank her for the gesture. Keep smooth, nothing we can't see through. Gon' kill with the weak too, but let me pick up where the story fits up, where my folks give up. This is the stick up and it's smooth.
Is it on, brother? Man, like I said, bruh, here's to getting the fuck out of this year, man. You know what I mean? New one coming in. Let crisis take credit, my character indebted to war crimes. Incredible lines, barely legible, reflect troubled mind. Like man, my troubled hand, only half here. Survived another Roman year, atoning. But heart closing, the line constantly woven in this ink. Like residue holding on to the sink. This last drink is for the brother's final thoughts. Your guess is good as my lack of rest. No lack of test, attack of greatness. Respect, hey. And these days don't play. Faithless influence, my tutor faded like traded to craft. Close your eyes and make my mask. Same way the whole city acts. True face under buildings, the smile of a killing field. Two swords, no shield. You might mistake us for the devil's deal. I still feel the toxic. Brothers to the steel, young and obnoxious. Reveal my hand honest. Cozy in the concept of stranger. In a town where there's no lack of gangsters. Reading eyes, the diary of a traitor. Eyes getting off an elevator. And these days don't play. And these days don't play. Behold the half blind. Your pain is half mine. The rest on deaf ear. Empire wide drone. No home to hear. Just explosions. They Jones. The premeditated emotion. Maneuvering between two oceans. Toes in two lanes. Going by two names. Neither was free. Free from nightmare. The creature was me. This religion needs repair, still running. Agitated thoughts stumbling over each other. Surprised I don't stammer. Look at the past, make eyes shatter. Feeling like the soul don't matter. Just leave me three senses, two less to witness. About a bastard's business, no father of this feeling. Get this childlike, pouring out a child's life too early. He said, now teach me mercy. Smile like the spirit's waiting, patient. Teach this pain cadence, not here while eyes casing. Turn any floor into a scene. From a basement, feel free to insert amazement. And these days don't play. Look, success will be surprised. Lines will be disguised. Black and steel pride. It's low tide. Watch spirits subside. Watch lyrics over minds. My eyes apparently dry with tears high. I guess they gone on to supply new life, newborn. Mind too worn down to mourn. Writing in a room of stove warm. In the city, I'm like stove weak and cold to a sucker's scorn. Like stove that will burn any weapon form. And these days don't play.
Days.
Yeah.
Days don't play. And this time don't wait. Oh, yeah. But these days don't play. Let me get away, y'all. Hey, now these days, y'all.
Congo, Ison Martin was appointed as San Francisco's 8th Poet Laureate in January of 2021 by Mayor London Breed. Ison Martin is a poet and the founder of the Black Friday Press. His book, Heaven is All Goodbyes, published on City Lights Pocket Poet Series, received the 2018 American Book Award, the California Book Award for Poetry in 2018, and was shortlisted for the Griffin Poetry Prize. His previous book, Someone's Already Dead, published on Bootstrap Press in 2015, was nominated for a California Book Award. His forthcoming book, Blood on the Fog, City Lights Pocket Poet Series number 62, will be published in September 2021. Ison Martin is also an educator and organizer whose work centers on issues of mass incarceration, extrajudicial killings of Black people, and human rights. He has taught at detention centers around the country and at the Institute for Research in African American Studies at Columbia University. He is a graduate of Columbia University. Born and raised in San Francisco, Ison Martin spent time as a child hanging out at the Western Addition Cultural Center, now Culture Complex, where he later taught writing workshops. In his vision for Poet Laureate, he aims to organize poetry circles in underserved neighborhoods throughout the city and recruit and nurture artists from San Francisco's marginalized communities. He is hosting an event Wednesday, April 21st, from 6 to 7:30. The event is virtual and the link is posted in our event page. I had the opportunity to meet Tongo when I performed at City Lights Books in John Sims' Dixie Remixes project, where he had us all write pieces about the song Dixieland based on musical rewritings of that song. They were done in different genres. The one that I was asked to write to was the R&B version of I Wish I Was in Dixie. I met him again at the Oakland Slam when he was featured there, and he is one of the principals of Nomadic Press. They have an internal publishing house that was established through African American poets and writers and other writers of color that wanted to see better and more prevalent representation of those very underrepresented artists. And we continue to appreciate the work that he's doing in my hometown of San Francisco and celebrate that he is our African American Poet Laureate who does not fit anybody's description of what that was supposed to look like, and we love him for it. We are wrapping it up. There are so many more that I would like to play. I would respectfully say that there are many that deserve recognition for the work that they do, and for their contributions to poetry, both digitally and in books. I'm going to close with one poem and say thank you. Look for the video that will be coming from this show, as there will be more books and more poets mentioned for the full length. And we hope that you will honor us by checking that out. To close the show, let me see if I can find it. Oops. Of course I can't. I just love technology, don't you? Sorry, y'all. I'm having a typing difficulty at the moment. Okay, then I'm going to scroll to it because whatever. Here we go. Thank you for joining us. This is Three Shades of J.
Three Shades of J's. The music is the blues, tinted in the various hues of soulful singers. Guitar strings and vocal pings, plastic picks and hardened fingernails run the scale up and down, frets of regret, pain of the skin and southern comfort and heroin. Raspy voices show the courses life has taken them. Hard living, unforgiving, toes taken, backs breaking, work in the heat of the Delta, the sweltering heat, Mississippi. Texas, so restless was the time, so convoluted was the mindset, the mentality had to be mindswept. Music had borders in order for a brother like Jimi Hendrix to be heard. He had to step lightly or be considered absurd. Music was colorblind, class with clear division. Somehow to like more than one style, we were viewed as not having that provision. John Lee Hooker with his prolific licks struck a chord with more than his strings. All of a sudden, the blues became a European thing. Rock bands invaded us with our own music. Twisted in ways, the airwaves say, that's how we'll use this. Influence was downright stealing. Either way, they found it very appealing. The skies opened up and we took flight. Jimmy saw the light. His blaring strings meant something over there, something over here. He just disappeared. Still not clear how a brother can be negated at home. The majority over there placed him on a throne. Many others, it was the sound, that bluesy sound, that Janis Joplin came around, gaining her own fame, sounding like a sister, blistering mics, changing the heights of where vocals could reach. She preached on stage, her rage, her sorrow, her pains of tomorrow. Many followed her, she followed many. John Lee Hooker, Janis Joplin, and Jimi Hendrix. Three shades of J's all shared a stage, and the way they conveyed was very different. John Lee Hooker with his soulful riffs, Janis Joplin with her vocal bliss, Jimi Hendrix, the Stratocaster master, copied to this day, though some may be faster, but let me ask you, have you read them? You know their lyrics, often blinded by their music, it's very hard to hear it. Amplifiers and screaming, often smear it, acts as bold as blood, ball and chain. I'll never get out of the blues alive. The three J's survive in their music. It's played every day, be it influential or rare vinyl, or by tribute lookalikes. My thoughts are final. Three of the best of their day, and let the music play.
Listening to Uprising Radio.